Heaven, you're just so mighty and good. Wonderful are you in all your works. And I just praise you for bringing this man to share with us today. I just really ask, Lord, equip him and bless him and anoint him to be your man in this hour and speak your truths, speak your word, and exalt Christ amongst us. For your glory we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I feel so blessed this morning. The service really good. The song, even I don't know some, they like a very new song for us. It's different in English. We sing in French and Creole. But it's good when I read, and it's really good service. I feel really blessed. And also, I try to bring something for you this morning, but I lose it. Yeah, when I left Haiti, it was plus 30. And I bring some sunshine with me. But when I get to the airport, it was minus 30. And the first place I went, it was in Winnipeg. It was a mission fest there. It's really cold. And say, how does people living in the freezer? It's really cold. So you can, the difference is 60. It's really, really cold. But I lost the sunshine at the airport. But the best things, I met very good people in Canada. People, it's really good. And I'm so glad we can meet people. The second thing I bring for you is the story of faith. And when we read in Romans 10 and verse 17, and consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is hear through the word of Christ. Maybe I want to encourage you with a story of faith. Sometime in Haiti, I said often, it's the story of Abraham, it's too far. It's Old Testament. The story of David, it's far. People not really know David. But your story, you can use your story because people know you. They can touch you. They can see you. Sometimes people just thinking, Jacob, Joseph, we don't know those people. But people in this church, in this community, they know you. You can share the story because if the people want to have faith, they have to hear, listen the word of God and share the story with us. We all have faith in something or in someone. But this morning I want talking about faith on God. It's really easy to people to believe. They have a money in bank. They have an account in bank. They have a money. They can have faith on that. You even have faith in the bench where you sit. Because you sit, you forget. You have faith on that. Maybe someone have a faith in the house they have. They have faith in medical care, the assurance, the doctor, the medicine. They know if they drink, oh, I have a headache, I drink a Tylenol. Oh, I have faith in that. That will fix the headache. But one thing I see, it's really difficult to people have faith in God. And one thing I always said, faith, it's invisible. Because faith is about things we don't see. I want to share my story with you. And after I will, the second thing is share a little bit of about our ministry, what we do in Haiti. All my stories start with my mother, my mom. All the mothers, your parents, is good. It's my mom who lead me in Christ. Show me Jesus. This woman is a wonderful woman. And I can remember, since I was a little boy, my mom, she started praying with me. My dad was dying. But I just used live only with my mother. She's a midwife. She's a nurse. And that time, it's just only my mom who gave care to our village. It's the woman who delivered most of the babies in our village. That's what my mom do. Also, when people have problems, we don't have the clinic that times. It's only my mom going in the place of them and bring care, help them. Since I have 11 years old, I started working a little bit with my mom, Carrie, thanks for her, because she do mobile clinics. She go in another village to bring care to the people. But sometimes, people call my mom. She went. She can do nothing for the people. Maybe she don't have the medicine. Maybe she don't have enough knowledge to fix the problem of the people. Sometimes we went and pray with people. Sometimes we pray with people and waiting people die. We see, I saw a lot of people die in my mom's hand when I was a little boy. People in our family, people just believe their faith in my mom can do something. Sometimes she can do nothing. And sometimes we, neighbor of us, people in our community died. I see a lot of people like that. And my mother started to pray. He said, God, I want one day, Wadney and I, we can walk in together. I want my son come and help me with that. And pray. And I formed very, very poor family economically. I said economically because my family, they have a freedom because they met with Jesus. Because my grandfather, when the missionary come and an OMS missionary come, they asked Jesus. And my mom, she know God. She always have a big vision. She have a big faith. And you know, God answered prayers. Today, my mom and I, we're working together. She's working in our clinic. I have 65 people working in our clinic, but I'm not the boss of my mom. No. She's the boss. Because she's always thinking I'm the little one. She has to tell me things to do. But my mom, she's the boss. Even they said I'm the director of the clinic, but it's my mom. Because I'm not the boss of her. She's still the boss. And we're working together. How God answered these prayers? I remember when I was in high school, the last year of high school, I even can't go to school. Because I don't have a shoes to put. A pair of shoes. I went to the school 2 weeks later. The school was open. I can go. And I find, my mom find a man in our community. It's very tall man. I remember maybe the man, the feet of the man, maybe 10 or 11. But my feet was like 6. And he gave me shoes. That's the shoes I put to go to the high school, my last year in high school. I tell you that to see. It was really difficult. But in the same year, after I'm finished to graduate to high school, God will send me and will big university. I remember the clinic I'm working now. My first job at the clinic, it was I have to work in for an American doctor to translate for him. That's my first job. When visitor come in and I translate for them, and doctor come in and I help them. One day I was at the clinic, an Haitian who living in Dominican Republic, because Dominican Republic it's closed. It's the same island with Haiti. It's coming in our clinic. And I met him and I just asked him some question about Dominican Republic because I never go there. And I said to him, did they have a university there? He said, yes, they have a lot of university. I said to him, I want to go there one day to visit. He said, okay, I can go with you. Days later, this man come back. He said, okay, now we can go. And I said, okay. And he said, in 1 week, he will come to take me. We will go there. But that time, my mother was afraid because she don't know this man. She don't want to protect me. The first thing my mom do, it's going and the place to meet his family for this man and to make sure if something happened to me, it's nowhere to find someone who know this man. You see, most of the things, parents should be protect their kids. Not the angel will do that for us. Me, it's not the angel. God not send the angel to talk with me. It was my mother who talked with me about God. That's what I want to give to my kids today, what my mom gave to me. And I went in Dominican Republic. We start to visit different university they have. The one university I went, when I get there, I said to this man, I want to be in this university. He start to laughing of me. He keep laughing. I said, stop. Yes, he keep laughing. I said, why are you laughing like that? He said, you cannot be in this university. I said, what? He said, two main reasons. He said, the first, it's just only Dominican who have a lot of money can pay this university. The second reason, you don't speak Spanish. Because in Haiti, our school was in French, and we speak Creole. Everybody speak Creole. But people go to school, they speak French, and the school was in French. And he knew, I don't know nothing in Spanish. And I keep telling him, I want to be in this university. He said, no, you joke, you play. I said, yes, could you help me to fill the application? At the end, he helped me to fill the application of the university, and we leave, and after I go back in my country. 2 weeks later, he called me, he said, the university want you come. They want you come. They said they want to give you a test before they accept you. I said to him, oh, yes, I will come. And I remember the day of the test, and I go there. They give me, it's a really big test with many pages. Just one thing I understand, you have to choose, it was multiple choice. And you have to choose your best answer. And I write my name and I start to choose. I'm choosing. I even can read the test. I don't know what was in the test. I keep choosing. And they put a tape, something to play, and I can hear and to answer you. I don't follow that because I don't know what they said. And I keep choosing. And I don't be for the time they give to do the test. And I give the test back. And the Asian friend, because I don't speak Spanish, he was there to translate for me, I don't know. He said, they said they will give the result in 2 days. And I said to him, okay, I will go back to Haiti because I don't have a money to stay one day more. And I go back. 2 days later, my Haitian friend called me and said, "You passed the test." Let me tell you, even today, I don't know what was in the test. I even know one Christian was in the test. The university is open. That's happening in December. The next semester will start in January. And the university is open. The first day of the university, I'm so happy, excited. I'm really early, and I sit in the first bench. When you come, and I sit, the first teacher was coming, talk with me. I don't understand nothing. The student talk with me. I don't understand what they said to me. They start walking. I don't know what they're doing. Week like that, all the teachers complained about me. And after the next week, the director of medical school, they call me. And I go with another Asian I meet to translate for me. When I get there, the director said to the Haitian, "Tell him, did he pass the test?" And I said, "Yes, tell him, yes, I passed my test." Another lady come in with a folder, was my test. They said, "Yes, he passed it." But they said, "How he passed it? He don't understand. He don't speak Spanish." And this man said to me, "What is the best thing you can do? Just go outside, another specific school for Spanish, and study for 6 months. And after, in September, in 6 months, you can come back in the next semester." I said to them, "No. I passed my test. I want to be at the university. I'm not here to study Spanish. I'm not coming in another country to study Spanish. I'm here for medicine, and then I pass my test." Yeah, another lady was there. I said to me, "That will not good for you, Rodney. Because that will, you don't understand. You will, that will affect your grade." And I can see in the face of the director of medical school, he was mad with me. And he said, "Okay, if you don't want to leave the university, after the first exam in this semester, they will give you. If you don't pass it, we will put you out. You will never take you at the university again." I said to him, "I agree with that." To make this part short, 1 month later, they gave the first exam to me. I did 100%. How? People not understand that. The teacher gave the test to me. He was in the classroom. He called me. I come. He put me in an office by myself. They give me another test. Because they're thinking I'm taking away from other students. I'm chilling. They put me in another office. They give me another test. I did again 100%. One year later, I'm studying Spanish. I know Spanish. But in the first semester, my first semester at the university was my best semester. I passed every material in A without knowing Spanish. You know what I'm learning from that? This part of my story. When you don't know nothing to do, when you don't know the next step, when you don't have voice to speak for yourself, when you don't have the solution, when nobody know how to do what to do for you, when you even can shake your hand, it's better to God to show his power. Sometimes we're fighting with God. We want to do things for ourselves. The rest of semester, I passed some material in A and B when I know Spanish. I'm graduate on the top of my class. But the other side of this story, who will pay for me? Who sent me? I remember I went there 2 weeks before the school opened. I gone there to stay with another Asian. He's coming to take me to the bus station and said, you will stay with me for 2 weeks and I have to find an apartment to rent for you. I said to him, I'm okay with that. Every morning before this university start, it's going outside with me to looking for a place to, and I can wait to stay. Each apartment he show me, I said to him, I don't like this one. He show me another one, I said, I don't like it. Every day we go outside, a week like that, all the apartment he showed to me, I said, I don't like it. You know? Because I don't have money. If I said I like it, he would have said, okay, we will make a contract and I have to pay. Believe me, I went there. That day when I left my country, I just have money to pay the boss to get me to the Dominican Republic. I don't have nothing. You know that time why one thinks I'm just asset in my life? Because for me, faith is not how many times you pray. No. You just believe in what God can do. You accept the promise, all the promise of God in your life. Just you accept that. God, you can do that. It's simple. In that time, I'm accept everything in the world belong to my father. That means all university in the world belong to my father. I said, my father. You understand when someone is your father? And I will go in one of them. Because all the university is for my father. I will go in one of them. If it's invisible, I can tell this Asian. If I said that to him, I don't have money, he will think I'm crazy. Because sometimes, some of vision God give to you, people will say you crazy. Because people want to see. Remember, Hebrew 11, verse 1, faith is about things we don't see. It's a demonstration of things we don't see. And when I I receive an email from the one of American doctor I'm used to translate for him. He sent an email to me, said, oh, Wadney, I will come in Haiti, send the schedule. I want you to translate for me. And I heard him said, I'm at the university. He said to me, who will pay for you? I said, I don't know. He said to me, how much will cost your semester? I tell him. He said, I can send this morning to you. I said, I don't know. Because I'm just come. And after, he tell me, okay, where you are in Dominican Republic, they have something called Western Union. I even know nothing about Western Union in that time. And he sent the money to me. That's how I pay my first semester. But for 7 years, I'm study. I never know who will be next. Who will pay my next semester? In that times, I don't know nobody in Dominican Republic. My mother in Haiti don't have telephone, ni cell phone. In 2000, nobody in Haiti have a cell phone. But I can call him 24 hours. For 7 years, I don't know if the next month I will pay my apartment. That keep me close to the Lord. For 7 years, I read all the Bible. I read all the Bible. And when I'm studying medicine, I'm tired, I read the Bible. I'm hungry, I read the Bible. Sometimes I'm walking. If you meet with me, you will think I'm crazy because I'm talking by myself. Loud. Oh God, just only you. Sometimes people say hi to me. I don't see them. I keep talking. Because I don't know what will happen tomorrow. One thing's happened. For 4 years at the university, I have just worn pair of shoes for 4 years. I remember for 2 years, I have just one jean. The jean was blue. It's coming white. And sometimes I have to wash it every two Saturdays. And sometimes I spend a week without eating nothing. And sometimes I said, people, I'm studying with water. Spend night, I have just only water I drink. But do you know, for 7 years, I'm never sick. I never miss one day at school. Sometimes when I come in Haiti, just my mom cried, said, my son, you will die. We don't send nothing to you. I'm not hungry. I don't have food, but I'm not hungry. And I drink water. Because it's easy. I'm living by myself, and I spend the day outside to the university. When I get there, I don't have nothing. And I have to study. And go back tomorrow. It's keep like that. One thing I learned, I was not mad with God. Because I already understand. You have a reason for that. Not because my father don't have shoes. No. He want to teach me something. Not because he don't have food, but he want to teach me something. But after that, I'm graduate. The hospital I make my internship, they give a job to me. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so glad now. I'm a doctor. I'm finding a job. Now I will pay. And my apartment, I will have a car, I will have food. I'm so glad I find a job. And very big hospital in Dominican Republic, they gave a job to me. I form a very good university, my grade is good, they want to have me. I'm excited and I start walking. And 2 weeks and the first month I find the job. One afternoon on Tuesday, and I take a break, God start to remind me my story. Why make me a doctor? And this afternoon, God start to bring me all the pictures of people I saw that in my village. People of my mom fighting with them for a long time. And I saw family who died, neighborhood, people in my community since I was a little boy. And that night, I lost my joy. I lost my peace. I can't sleep. And I even hear a voice said to me, how many people you want to die before you, more people you want to die before you come back? On Friday, and I go to see the boss of the hospital. I said to him, I want to go in my country. He said, no, don't go Haiti. Haiti is not good. We will pay you well, and you just start to walk and stay and walk in. Go back to work. And I go back to see him again. I said, okay, I want to go just for a weekend. And I will go back. He said, okay, you can go for the weekend, but on Monday, you have to come back. On Saturday, I take everything I have, and I come Haiti. And I never go back. On Monday, I went to the church. And after the church, one of our missionaries there in Hoymest, he said, "Oh, Rodney, you are here. We're so glad. Could you come on Monday, talk with us?" I said, "Okay." When I have to come in Haiti, I know what's waiting for me in Haiti. My life start to change. And God called me to come back in the same problems. I even have a home to stay. So my mom have a little house. That's I know. I don't have food to eat. I don't have nothing I will do in Haiti. But God called me to go back. On Monday, I went to talk with one of our missionaries there. He said, "Oh, Rodney, we're so glad you come. We have a campus, a compound in OMS in Haiti. We have an empty house. Could you want to stay in one of them?" You see what the way she asked me? We have the clinic coming and walking in our clinic. But on Friday, God don't tell me I will find a house to stay. And sometimes we want to know everything. We want to know every step. Sometimes God not working like that. He just want you follow him by faith. He call you to do something and you follow him. And I come. God already have the plans. That's, I form an incubation. Next time. Slide. Ah, nobody was there. I don't have something to show. She's there. Yes, and I start working with the clinic. Our clinic's name is Bethesda Medical Center. And Bethesda Medical Center, it's a one ministry of OMS, One Mission Society. And they have an in Canada and USA in different place. I don't know who can change the slide. Okay, that's capation. Keep going where we form. So that this is our clinic. The word of Bethesda means house of grace. And we find the story of Bethesda in John chapter 5. They have a pool and where they bring people with any kind of disease. And next, is that working? Okay. Yeah, and Bethesda, when I'm not busy, I will see 100 people when we're not busy. We will see 120, 150. On Monday, we can see close to 200 people. After the weekend, we have a lot of people coming. Yeah, you can see the pool of Bethesda here. We have the symbol of that. We're not focused on medical care. We use medical care like a strategy to bring the good news to the people. Now, I always said medical care, it's one of the best way to evangelize in Haiti. And because people don't have a clinic, doctors, most of people going in voodoo and wish doctor. But when, with medical care, we give a choice to the people to not go in voodoo. And when people come in our clinic, like you can see, we have a pastor from the USA. The teams come in our clinic specifically to evangelize. We have two pastors working inside in our clinic. And we pray with the people. And the time of people coming, because when we have to see 100, 120 people, it's really a long day. We have teams, people waiting, and to pray with them, to share the good news with them. And also when people sick, when they have problems, they are more open to receive the good news. So, keep going. That's we have the people. That's one of the big problems we have in Haiti. It's HIV, AIDS. And our clinic, after sub-Saharan Africa, it's Haiti and the Caribbean who have more HIV. Just only in our clinic, we have over 1,500 people follow for HIV. Those people don't have hope. Even we give a medicine to them, they don't have hope. The only things we can give them is the eternal life. They are really open to receive. That's we, last year, we received the praise of the best clinic for the treatment of HIV in Haiti. Because people like to come in our clinic. Why? We use the same medicine. We have the same programs. But when they come in our clinic, they see love. They see grace. Because HIV, the discrimination of HIV, it's really hard. Even the family of, if member of the family of them know they have HIV, they reject them. Nobody wants you. They know you have HIV. But when they come in our clinic, they see love of Christ. And for that reason, the follower of HIV, it's really good. Keep going. So we have a clinic for pregnancy, prenatal clinic. We see a lot of women. But now we open a maternity where people, women have to come to deliver the babies because most of the delivery, it's at home by non-caliphate people. 2 years ago, I make a meeting with women who delivered babies. We call them matrons. Some of them tell me they do that without a pair of gloves. Just thinking, a country who HIV, the level of HIV, it's really high. The baby can be infected for basic things like that, for gloves. The women who give life will be, you will get something like HIV for all your life. And I said, God, we can accept that in your kingdom. We will open a place and all our women in our village, they can find a safety place to deliver their babies. And kids, that's the big, big problems, nutrition, food. 1 to 5 kids in Haiti have malnutrition. Last December, before I come here, I have a lot of boys died in our clinic for malnutrition. It's a food, basic thing. Beautiful kids, and we will die. Let me tell you, when Haitians said they're hungry, when Haitians, they said they don't eat nothing. And people, when they eat just once, mostly rice. And the malnutrition problem mostly with proteins. And in these programs, we give formula, we give milk, we give peanut mamba, because peanut have a lot of protein, and we help them. And with this program, we give diapers, layers. That's what dependent people give to us. Because when teams from Canada, USA, the people bring things, we give it to the people. Because they're not coming for... And I remember, it's maybe 3 months coming in our clinic. This baby crying. They give us some little Tylenol to the baby. He's still crying. They give a shower because it's really hot in Haiti. He's keep crying. They call me when I come. I just thinking, I said, okay, give some milk to the baby. The problem is fixed. We give another bottle. He drink 3. And the father said, the mother died. That's 3 nights he can sleep with the babies crying. And we gave him some milk. The problem is fixed. Most of the babies, they don't need medicine, but they need food. And we keep a see babies for basic things like that. So we have a new programs and physiotherapy. That's really new for Haiti. Because we have now a lot of people in Haiti who have a stroke because they have a high blood pressure. And people in Haiti, the coffee of Asian, it's really strong coffee. And people don't know if the blood pressure of them is high. And they drink a lot of coffee. Coffee is not good. With caffeine and that. And the salt, they put a lot of salt in the in the foot of Asian. In Saul, it's increased the blood pressure of the people. That means we have a lot of... But when the people have a stroke, okay, they have a problem, they let them. We don't know what they don't know what to do with those people. But now we do physiotherapy with them. We have a Julie, one of our missionaries, who come and do physiotherapy in our clinic. Going. That's a lot of girls who burn with the problems. They never think this little girl can walk in. But now Julie walking with her, and she coming better. Yeah, that's one thing also we do. We're not waiting people come to us. We go in their place, in their house. We bring health care to them. Yes, keep going. We have a service of laboratory. Keep going. Keep going. So X-ray, it's a really big, 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 big problem now. And enough, we have 1 million people. We can have two places who can do X-ray for all the enough. And now, in Haiti, people have a new business called motorcycle taxi. You will see 6 people in 1 motorcycle. 5 people. That increase the quantity of accident. They give me a lot of job to do. Wow. A lot of accident. But now we have the X-ray machine. You have the problems. When accident come in now, I'm just to try guess if it's broke or not. Because I have to do X-ray for all others clinic. But we have a problem for X-ray. Keep going. And that's one of the problems we have. We're talking about TB. And one of things student we do mobile clinic. We bring healthcare to the people. Because people have to walk 3-4 hours to come and see a doctor. And sometimes people really sick, some village, they really far. Keep going. That's my mom. She will go in that mobile clinic with us. She keep working. That's a team from USA. We have to cross the river. I will show a little bit of the video to show you what we do when we go to the mobile clinic. Keep going. Keep. Okay. You have a sound. And that day we see 400 people and one day and a half. We go for the weekend. We traverse in 5 in the morning. We get there at 1 and we start to see people. And I remember in that mobile clinic, I have to keep walking with pen light flashed because it's overnight, because some people from other village, they walk in 2-3 hours to come to see you. You can let them go back. And we keep it, see them. And after that, Sunday after church, we go back and vote. Sometimes people come, and they come and we do mobile clinic for one day, and we go back if we go and close. Sometimes we use that for. But for a long time, summer village, I went just once a year. And God, I find I helped those people very little. But God said, you are just one Wadney. Because I work Monday to Friday in our clinic, use my weekend to go in another village. And God gave me another vision to start with a school to duplicate my stuff. We have a school there. We give a training. That's we have a nursing school. And I call that my hope. Because I think in 10 years and 15 and 20 years, we can have a 20 Wadney and 20 village in one day. And because even I'm coming here, I'm still on call. I'm the only doctor in my clinic, in my area. That means I'm working during the day, night, every time. And I hope with this school, and we have a laboratory technician and X-ray, we give a training for pharmacology, pharmacy also. We hope one day in those students, if I can find half or less of them want to go back where they come from and to start with something, we will give it people choice to not go in and the voodoo stuff. That's our student. We receive the student coming in different place, keep going. And yeah, that's this year, we make the first year in the chapel. We don't have room to make it. Asian want to study. They come everywhere to come in our school to receive a training. That's how we start a building for the school. And that's my family. I'm a father also, a husband. I have 4 kids. My hand is full. And 13, 10, 8, 3 years old. Oh, this man, 3, gave me a lot of problems. Good job, the 3 years. That's my wife. I want to show you someone. That's my wife. Yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah. She's a wonderful wife. I miss her. And I'm a Canadian now. Thank you. And just one last question people ask me. And Facebook and people in USA do know me. People in Canada. They said, why you come in Canada in winter? The main reason, I need people. It's a lot of work. I don't have time to show you all things the clinic do. I need people, invite people, and come into her post. We need doctor, nurses. We need people to evangelize because the main focus of us is evangelize, bring the kingdom of God to the people. We want people come. And also, we want the prayers of the people. Because we're working in Haiti, we can see visibly the devil walking against of us. We can see. So, it's really a big fight. Working in Haiti, we need a lot of prayers. And we come to ask you your prayers. And since last year, we almost like we won't, we will close. I don't say we will close because we don't have medicine. What happened, we have a budget. The money we use in Haiti called goods, but we buy in U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar, it's increased. When we have to change our money, we lose a lot of money. For that now, we're just out of medicine. We don't have money to buy the medicine. For that reason, I said, I can't wait the summer times. Let me come and that times at the beginning of the year to talk with the people, to share what God doing in Haiti. And people, God talk with them, will come, who want to come, they can come. People who want to pray for us, people who want to contribute to buy the medicine, to help those people, it will be good. Thank you for your times. I know I was too long, but thank you.
You weren't too long. You're good. The story we heard is a story of faith. Yeah? All I can think of listening to this is as God speaks to you, you don't have any other options other than, yes, Lord. Do we? There's nothing else. But God's will be done. Christ be glorified. And follow him where he tells you to go. So let's have a word of prayer. We're going to pray for you and your ministry. And folks, as the Lord speaks to you, I encourage you, today is the day that you say yes to him and go with him. So let's close with a word of prayer. Lord in heaven, you are our hope and you are our life. Every good thing we have is because of you. We praise you for the ministry that Rodney has, and that he has been a man of faith who has followed after you. We pray that you would continue to bless and equip them for every good thing that you have in store for them to do in Haiti. We know that you are mighty, that you are good, and you can do all things well because you are a good father. And Lord, we are your children. We want to follow after you too. Whatever changes that means in our life, whatever sacrifices, we want to be a people who say yes to you, walk with you, and bring glory to Christ. Father, give us obedient hearts today. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name.